For this month, off and on, we've been dealing with this series entitled, It's Personal. The title of the series was birthed out of a book that I was reading entitled, Translating Jesus. In chapter 5 of the book, the author asks a question that I feel was very profound. She asks, and I quote, "Are you still remembering? Are you still remembering?" And what she is referring to is, are you still remembering when he saved you? And that question is critical because you can't remember when he saved you without remembering what he saved you from. I don't know about anybody else in here, but I never want to grow so holy, so spiritual, that when I give my testimony of what he brought me out of, that it does not bring tears to my eyes. Is it anybody that knows what I'm talking about? That the hell that he brought you out of, that when you begin to testify, you can't help but break down and cry because you understand, had it not been for the Lord who was on my side. So I can never remember being saved and not think about what he saved me from. And everyone has a different experience when we talk about our salvation experience. But one thing that we all share in common is that he saved us when we weren't able to save ourselves. It doesn't matter if one was delivered from drugs, one was delivered from alcohol, one was delivered from pornography, homosexual, and none of it matters. None of it matters. The common denominator of that whole situation is he done something that none of us could do on our own. And I remember when I first went to prison and began to work out and back then when I was in prison they had real weights, not just these pretty little machines. And so instead of staying in my lane and putting the weight on the bar for a beginner, what happened was I got caught up at how much weight all the other brothers in the weight pile was lifting. And so I decided immediately to go heavy, just trying to look like I was stronger than I really was. Amen. And so I believe I put something like, at that time, 225 was heavy. It was heavy to me. And so I put like 225 pounds. And keep in mind, at this time in my life, I only weighed about 160 to 165 pounds soaking wet and had never really worked out at all. So I picked up the weight and it seemed easy coming out the bar, you know, coming out the rack. And I thought to myself, you got this, Stephen. And as I was bringing the weight down towards my chest, I quickly realized, Stephen, you don't have this. Amen. And thankfully, I wasn't the only one in the weight pile that day. So one of the men that was working out saw me seriously struggling, and he ran over and he pulled the weight up off of me and saved my life. and so what blew my mind, you know, I received that this brother had helped me out, and I couldn't stop thanking him, but he had a friend in me. I want you to understand, so when somebody does something for you, you know, I don't know about you, but if you do something for me, if you save me, if you help me out of a jam that could have possibly crippled me or killed me, you've got a friend in me for life because, see, he had done for me what I could not do for myself. Amen. For the rest of our time in the prison, if he had any issues, I was there. I made myself his friend because at my most vulnerable moment, he saved me. In the physical, he had saved my life. Follow me now. How many of you remember your story? When the pressures of the world and life was weighing down on you so heavy that you didn't think you'd ever be able to get it up off of you. And I can't speak for anyone else, but when God saved me, it was from what I had walked into voluntarily. And so as well as what Satan had played me into, Now, going back to my story, when the brother saved me from the weights, crushing my chest cavity, I will never forget what he said as he was walking off. He said, if you're going to deal with weights, you're going to need to have a spotter. Oh, Lord. And a spotter, Mike Ferrigno back there, he's like, yeah, I know about that. You need a spotter. Mike Crump, you know, he likes to lift the gym. And so a spotter is a person that you work out with. And when it's your turn to lift on the weight bench, especially on the weight bench, he stands behind the bench just in case you can't get the weight back up off you. He's there to assist. And a good spotter isn't just there to pull the weight up off of you, but a good spotter is going to coach you through the set, especially when it becomes difficult. He's there to tell you when your technique is wrong. He doesn't just let you lift any kind of way, because he understands that by handling the weight the wrong way, it could injure you so badly it could take you out of the game. May I quote Brother Buster, who was the man that saw me struggling. He had done 10 flat in the penitentiary day for day, and he was a hulk, and he had saw me struggling, and I want to quote what he said after he pulled the weight off me. He said, and I quote, if you are going to deal with weight, you're going to have a spotter. Let me make it plain. When the weight of life begins to burden you down, you will need the help of a spotter. Lord, have mercy. And this spotter won't be a man or a woman. This spotter won't be medication or a life coach. This spotter is the spotter of all spotters, and he doesn't just specialize in removing weight. He desires to. Lord, have mercy. The weightlifting spotter, he just specializes in making sure your workout is straight and that you leave with no injury. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the spotter that I'm talking about, the spotter that's in heaven, what he does is he has a desire to make sure you come out of that weight okay. Lord, have mercy. Do you remember in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, and I wrote this from the Amplified Version, and it says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Lord, have mercy. Casting all of your cares, not some of them, not most of them, not just the ones that you can't handle, but he wants all of them. And I don't know about nobody else, but I've tried to handle my little problems, and on the strength of me trying to handle my little problems, they became bigger problems, and you understand what I'm saying. And so he says, I don't need you in any of it. I just need you to have enough faith in me to cast it all on me, every one of your anxieties, worries, and your concerns. He says this, watch this, and he's brilliant. God is so brilliant. He says, once and for all. In other words, what he's saying is, I see you cast it on me, but before you leave, you pick it back up and walk out with it. I see you bring it to the altar when you come to church, but before you leave the church, you'd be like looking around, be like, let me get my stress. Let me get my hell. Let me get my concern. Let me get what's burdening me. Let me get my depression. Let me get, and he says, I need you for once and for all to set it on the altar, whether it's the altar in church, the altar in your house, the altar at Walmart. I need you to sit it down and walk out and never pick it up again. If you've ever watched weightlifting competitions on television, then you have always seen a spotter. And no matter how many muscles the lifter has bulging out of his body, he doesn't dare try weight without a spotter. And once they begin to lift the weight, you will hear and see the spotter watching over the lifter carefully, ready to step in instantly if the lifter can't get the weight off of him. Notice the spotter doesn't lift the weight for him. Lord, have mercy. The lifter has to do that on his own, but the spotter is there encouraging him all the way through, as well as being ready to step in and pull it up off of him if he needs to. Might I add, the spotter is also the coach. So when there's no competitions going on, the spotter turns into the trainer. Lord, have mercy. He trains the lifter, getting him ready for any type of situation that might arise during the weightlifting war. May I suggest the Holy Spirit is our coach, and he is always training us so when warfare comes, we know how to operate in war properly. He's there making sure the weight don't come crashing down on us, and reminding me and reminding us that the Holy Scriptures that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who loves us. And he reminds us that if he be for us, then who and what can be against us? And I just need to look at 1 Peter number 5, chapter 5, verse number 7 for myself. Casting all your cares and all of your anxieties and all of your worries. Now, it seems, you know, because what we do in church is we read along or we look at the screens or you look at the paper today and we just say, yeah, you know, and you read it. But peep this, how major is the stresses in your life? How worrisome are the worries in your life? How hot is the hell that is brewing in your life? You understand what I'm saying to you? And so he says, I want all of that. I want you to cast it all on me. Lord, have mercy. And he goes on and says, and he cares about you with deepest affliction and watches over you very carefully. How many of you in here real enough to admit you got some anxieties? How many of you in here real enough to worry, to admit you got some worries and you got some concerns? How many of you in here real enough to admit that you deal with depression every now and again? And on an average day, if you ain't got the right, if the formula ain't set up correctly, you could be on the verge of giving up. Oh, Lord, have mercy. How many of you are going through some things so serious that it keeps you up at night, makes your food taste different? You ever notice that when you stressed out, food don't even taste the way it usually do? You be waiting for it. It smell like it's supposed to taste. It smell like it's supposed to smell. It look like it's supposed to look. But because you got so many things on your mind, even while you praying over the food, you ain't even thinking about what you're saying. You're just actually going through the process because what you praying, thinking about the bills. You praying, thinking about the sickness. You praying, thinking about the relationship. You praying, going through the crazy. You understand what I'm saying to you? And by the time that you get done praying and you taste the food, you all of a sudden, you know what? I can't even eat. I need you to understand. I'm trying to tap into with you what the writer is saying here. He says, listen, the things that got you out of character, the things that won't let you sleep at night, the things that are resting constantly on your head, you can't smile from a pure place. He says, I need all of that from you. Because I've got something for you to do, and as long as you are weighed down and burdened with the cares of the world and all of the drama that's connected to your life, you'll never be able to do what I've called you to do. So he says, I want it all. This is personal. This is personal. Pastor, how is it personal? Because what I want you to do, thus saith the Lord. Listen, he says, what I want you to do, thus saith the Lord, is I want you to give it to me. Oh, God. But in order for you to give it to me, you've got to tell me what it is. Now, I'm God, and I know everything already. I don't necessarily need you to, but this thing, the reason that I'm requiring you to tell me about what it is that's got you burdened, broke down, and on the brink of giving up, the reason that you've got to tell me is because to tell me means you trust me. To tell me means you don't mind being vulnerable with me. Lord, have mercy. You know, we don't like, especially us men, we don't like to really talk about when we're going through, different situations. I'm reading a book by a brother by the name of Jason Wilson, powerful man, and it's called Cry Like a Man. It's called Cry Like a Man, and I've been crying the whole time I've been reading the book, and he talks about how us men, we don't express our emotions as much as we need to and the way we need to, because when men do it, it comes off like we complaining. And another reason why we don't do it is because it calls for a certain amount of vulnerability to tell somebody, here's where I really am. And God says, listen, I can understand you not talking to another human about it, but I can't understand you not talking to me. Oh, Lord, if you want me to deliver you out of this situation, I need to know that you believe I can. Oh, God, this is personal. Anybody ever been on the brink of giving up and it took you to the point to where you literally had to go to God? I'm talking about, I've been in some drama in my life that I didn't talk to everybody that I felt was cool, and I felt worse, not better. And I just sat back one day and said, you know what, I'm just going to pray. They say pray, you know, to tell God all about it. And I prayed, and all, you understand what I'm saying to you? And when you get to that point to where you're ready to give up, that means all hell has broken loose, not just in your life, but all around your life, and it becomes personal. Prayer becomes personal because I've got to tell him why I feel like I can't take no more. I love every last one of y'all in here, but not everybody's going to get a call from me when my chips are down, when my back's against the wall. This is nothing against you at all. You understand what I'm saying to you, but that's a vulnerability. And when you're gonna be vulnerable with someone, you gotta be vulnerable with people that you trust, and you can only trust the people that you know. And you can only know people by being around them and going through some things together. And so the only one when hell is hot all around me, or the only one that I can call on and know, you understand what I'm saying to you, besides my wife, is I call heaven. Because watch this, because I've learned that most people can't contain what I'm about to pour out. I don't need to tell you my struggles, and then the next thing I know, you looking at me funny. You ain't returning my calls. You don't text me back all of a sudden, but you're supposed to be my dog. No. I don't even want to put that pressure on a human. So I take it to God, who I know understands me and can contain what I'm pouring. He can hold it. He's big enough. And that's the beautiful part about God. It don't make no matter. No, never mind how messed up it is, how jacked up it is, how messed up you are, how jacked up you are, how crazy you've been. God is big enough to contain it. Woo! Lord, have mercy. Yeah. He's big enough to contain it. He's big enough to stop it. He's big enough to give you the power to walk away from it. He's big enough. So I don't have to hold back. I was in prison one day, and I called my grandmother, and we were talking about Jesus. And she was so happy that I had come from Islam to Christianity. And I had begun to just read the Bible every day, all day long. That's what I was doing. And we were on the phone. I'll never forget, I was sitting on the floor, and I said, yeah, Gigi. And I told God, I'm upset with you. You said in your word, and I'm calling you out on it, a particular situation had occurred, and the Bible, the way the Bible read, God had yet to operate. And my Jesus says, baby, don't you be talking to God like that. You know, he is God. And I said, yeah, Gigi, that's why you can talk to him like that. And she said, what do you mean, Stephen? I said, because he knows everything. So if I go to him and I don't really express how I feel, then I'm lying to God. Then what I'm saying is, I can't trust that he can handle my anger. I can't trust that he can handle my frustration. Now, I didn't say I was right. I'm just saying, here's where I'm at. You see what I'm saying to you? That's the powerful thing. When I learned that God knows everything, right? He sees all. Man, that a freedom came over me. You understand what I'm saying to you? Because I didn't have to, you know, because when you're wrong, you know, sneaking around and hiding, and you know, you done told several lies to fool man, not understanding that man ain't what you had to worry about. You understand what I'm saying to you today? It's personal. I want to show you something that's powerful. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, and I copy these out of the New Living Translation. And it says, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest and he requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. Remember, when it says the way, it means Christianity. Of the way that he found here, there. He wanted to bring both men and women back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." So let's make some sense out of this thing right here. Because by this time, Jesus has already been crucified on the cross. Now, to everyone back in that time, at that moment, they felt like Jesus was dead. But Saul is a Pharisee, and he hates Christianity and anyone who's a part of it. So let's look at the scripture with me. Meanwhile, while Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers, so he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. This is intense, right? This is intense. And it says, uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. You see what I'm saying to you? So Saul is on this mission, and he's on his way to the synagogues, and while en route, I'm talking about, he is hot. I mean, he is mad, upset, and he's uttering threats with his breath. Y'all know how that is, right? You know when you was getting ready to go confront somebody that was on your last, you know what, as soon as I see them, I'm coming from on sight. You understand me? I just, them and let their cousin be there. I'm going to get them too. Right. He's breathing. One version of this says that he's actually breathing murder. Whew. Every word that came out of his mouth that he breathed, he released from his vocal cords, had death connected to it concerning the Christians. Yeah. And so he's going to all the synagogues to obtain letters. Today, we call them warrants. A few of y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, they call them warrants. Amen. So he's going to obtain warrants for anyone who is caught worshiping Jesus. And then verse number 3 says, and as he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell and heard the voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" He didn't know who he was, but he knew he was the Lord. Oh, God. Do you remember that moment that you had with God when you didn't know who he was? You didn't know what to call him, but you knew he was Lord. He said, "Why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked, and the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." Notice, Jesus asked, "Why are you persecuting me?" Hold on. That's tension in the text, ministers. Amen. That's tension in the text right there. Why is that tension in the text? Because Jesus is in heaven, but he's asking Saul, because the Bible says, even in Romans 7 and in 8, and it says there that Saul was wreaking havoc amongst the Christians. Some theologians said that he was actually killing the Christians. Why, Pastor, though? Why is that tension in the text? Because Jesus is in heaven, and he's saying, "Why are you persecuting me?" And here is the tension is that Jesus, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting DA. I'm persecuting Kenny. I'm persecuting Lily. I'm not persecuting. You are dead. You was crucified. So how am I persecuting you? It's personal. Because when you persecute Kenny, D.A., and Lily, you persecute me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. When they talk about Lisa, when they talk about Kevin, when they dog Lantis, they persecute Jesus. Lord, have mercy. You remember when he said, and if I be for you, who can be against you? So imagine this type of walk with Jesus, that because we be some scared Christians sometimes. But let me ask you a question, beloved. Would you be as scared if he was down here walking with you? Would you kick your Christianity to the highest degree if he was sitting next to you? Then if the answer is yes, then you ought to, because he's not sitting next to you. He's sitting down in you. Lord, have mercy. And he said, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. It's personal. And the problem with the 21st century westernized church is we have yet to understand that, baby, this ain't about you. You think your haters is hating on you because of you. No, your haters is hating on you because of Jesus in you. Lord, have mercy. That's where the issue is, because of who resides in you. And so since this beef is not about you, it's about Jesus, watch this, then Jesus don't need you to fight. Because it's not your fight. They're picking a fight with the Jesus that's in you. And so you, how do I fight? Then you fight like Jesus did. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. It's personal. It's absolutely personal. That's why he said, stand still and see the salvation of me. In other words, what he was saying is, you don't got to get in this, but it's towards me. No, it's towards, because if they hated you, they hate me first. Oh, God. Oh, God. So you have no reason to even get in this, because it's about me. And since I be for you, you see. You ever see some people do you wrong? I mean, all the way wrong? And for whatever reason, you keep your peace. You don't do nothing about it. You don't say nothing about it. You don't post about it. You don't nothing. And then, might not be the next day, might be a couple of months, and you hear about a calamity, a tragedy,
my God,
that has happened their way.
My God.
Now, here's the thing. When it used to happen, when I was young in Christ, I'd be like, God don't like ugly. Can I just be honest? I would rejoice, right? I'd be like, get them, God. But do you understand that God is not used for your vengeance? Huh? Vengeance is his. And this is what I had to learn, that even though they came at me, right, I had to check me before I checked them. And once I checked me, I probably didn't check them. And I let God deliver me through the situation. Then I found out that when calamity struck their way, right, I wasn't allowed to rejoice. Guess what we had to do? Pray for them, that the calamity comes off of them. Oh, God. You ain't no Christian because you say God bless you. You ain't no Christian because you say praise the Lord. You ain't no Christian because you know No. He said, you know the mark of the people that love me is when you can pray for the ones that despitefully use you, when you can help out the ones you know don't like you, when things happen to people that they have done things to you and it hurts your heart for them to the point that you begin to pray for them.
My God.
That's when you know you're rolling with me, thus saith the Lord. Yeah. Jesus said anybody can get along with who like them.
Yeah.
But when you can get down with the ones you know can't stand you. And let me tell you something. That type of love confuses people, right? That type of love confuses the enemy, right? Not too long ago, probably about 7 or 8 months ago, a real live enemy of mine in the past went through something. And he was so, it messed him up so bad that he put it on social media. I don't even know how this guy's my friend on Facebook. He's not my friend. And he's one of those people that if I saw the name, I would just go right over it. But when I found out what was going on, I hurt. It hurt me. Like, man, I don't want that for nobody. And I jumped in his inbox, and I was like, man, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Here's my phone number. You call me. Let's get down. Let's go out to eat. Let's talk. Whatever, man. I ain't tripping on the past or whatever. And he hits me back, but you ever see somebody call, text you or inbox you back, and you can see the question in their text, even though they didn't ask a question? You know, that amazement that of all the people that's reaching out, you one of the people that's reaching out, you, as much as I've done to you, as much as I came for you, as much as I've done you. See, that, hold on, so what are you up to? I'm just trying to show you Jesus. You see what I'm saying to you? I'm just trying to show you Jesus. And if he was, and so if me and you ever had a problem, that means that I had to be in your mix at one part of a time. You know, I had to be in your world at one point in time. And if I'm to the point now to where I was to the point that I had beef with you, but now I want to pray with you, and now I want to help you, and now I want to sit down and talk with you and help you get through this, then it must mean that something has happened. And if it happened for me as rotten and jacked up and as low down as I was, then brother, it can happen for you too. You can have the peace too. You can have the joy too. You can have a real smile too. It can happen for you. Because he's no respecter of man. He don't pick and choose who he bless. You understand what I'm saying to you? We don't come to God for real on full throttle because we're afraid of being rejected by him like we've been rejected by everybody else. So I halfway Christian, so I don't get my whole heart broke. But God is not a man that he should let you down, that he should not be there for you. It's personal. His son died on the cross on the strength of us, so that we might have a right at the tree of life. It is personal. If any of you in here have children, nephews, nieces, whatever, right? And they died on the strength of humanity, wouldn't humanity be personal to you? Your blood baby died the most agonizing, horrible death ever, wouldn't it be personal to you? Then why don't you think it's personal to God? Why don't you think it's personal to God? He said, cast all your cares. He says, I see you down there struggling. I see it down there not letting you sleep. I see you. You're worried and your hair's falling out and you know you can't eat right and sleep is out of the question and I see you struggling. And I love you, and it's breaking my heart that you just won't give it to me. Give it to me. But God, I was dead wrong. That's how I got in it in the first place. And he's saying, give it to me. God, I forsook you and I disrespected you and I acted like you didn't exist and I knew I was wrong when I got in it. Give it to me.
Yes.
I got a robe and a ring. Lord, have mercy.
Come on, Bishop.
Lord, have mercy. I hurt so many people. Give it to me. It's personal. Listen, if we have anybody in the building, anybody in the building, and you're going through some things that you cannot explain, you'd like to talk about it, but every time you do, it's like something lumps up in your throat and tears begin to fall, and you don't even know if you're going to be able to make it through the conversation. I want you to know there's peace in the valley. there's peace in the valley. It don't have to always be like this. But all you have to do is give it to him. So today's altar call is going to be a little different, because what you need, I don't have. Never did and never will. But I got a name. I got a name. Peter and John walked up to the gate called Beautiful. There was a man that was sitting there, lame in his feet, begging for alms, begging for money. And he looked, when Peter, he said, hey. And Peter said, look at me. And he looked as if he was going to receive something, the Bible says. And Peter said, he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I got is a name of Jesus. And my brother, he told him, he said, no, get up and walk. I don't know where you are right now, but God is telling you, get up and walk. This is not unto your death. This is not connected to your destiny. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have is enough to bring you out of feeling bad. And I don't know how I'm going to go on. And this new normal sucks, and it just ain't working out for me. And he says, I need you to give it to me. You to give it to me. I'm tired of seeing you cry yourself to sleep. I'm tired of not knowing if you're coming or going. I'm tired. I love you too much, thus saith the Lord. I love you too much to see you down there broken, smiling to everybody, helping everybody else, but you're dying on the inside. He said, give it to me. Give it to me. I want it. I want it. Give it to me. Lay it in my hands. All of the fear, all of the worry, all of the demonic thoughts that the enemy tries to store up in you, you ain't going to be here. You ain't going to be able to. You ain't going to see Devontae get married. You ain't going to. God says, give all that to me. Give it to me. It breaks my heart to see you down here worrying like you do, not telling nobody how scared you actually are. He said, I want you to give that to me. He says, I want you to come and tell me how it's hard to rest, how it's held you back from planning. He says, you give that to me because I care about you. The most powerful thing, the most powerful thing that God is saying, he's saying, give it to me because I care for you. So he wouldn't ask for it if he wasn't going to do something with it. Give it to me. Give it to me. All the brokenness, all the hurt, all the rejection. He says, man, give that to me. Give it to me because I care about you. Because I care about you. Think about that. The Almighty says, I care about you. Lord, have mercy. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords says, I care about you. So give it to me. You can't do nothing with it. It's been killing you. You ain't even the you used to be no more. Give it to me. You used to be so full of life. You used to keep a smile on your face. And somehow, some way, something has tricked you into believing that it can't get better. Oh, but it can get better. Oh, it can get better. If we have anybody in the building today that has some things that they know they need to give to God, the altar is open. I'm not laying hands. I'm not speaking over. This is a conversation that you need to have with God. And if you can't make it down here, all you got to do is raise your hand and we'll put a shawl around your shoulders and you give it to God right there as your altar. Right there is your altar. But don't you dare leave here the same way you came. How do I give it to him and leave it with him? Because that's the crazy part, right? Because, you know, it's always, I gave it to him, I thought I did, but it's still on the inside of me and it's still breaking me up and it's still crushing me, right? Here's how you do it. You give it to him, you tell him all about it, and then you ask him for this. Now, God, give me the faith to believe that you got it. See, it's not that God hasn't heard you. It's not that God hasn't been down for you. It's not that, you know, you left and nothing really happened. That wasn't the problem. The problem was you didn't have faith that God had it. See, and the reason why you didn't have faith was because you was looking for a feeling. God is not a show and prove God. God just says, trust me. So when I give it to you, you have to trust. When you give it to me, you have to trust that I got it. That's the problem. It's the lack of faith. Can't nothing take his pain away. Can't nothing take his situation away. That's not true. That's a lack of faith. So when you come to the altar and you say, God, here's where I am, you got to believe it. He's got it. I don't got to worry about it no more. In fact, he said, be anxious for nothing. Worry about no thing. But in everything, prayer and supplication. And when that thing tries to rise up in you again, you get right back on your altar. I don't care if it's at your desk. You make it an altar. And God, I give it back to you. I trust you with it. I'm sick of this depression. I'm sick of being sad. I'm sick of this low self-esteem. I'm sick of being angry. I'm sick of being bitter. I'm sick of just hating and don't even know why I'm hating. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Because it can't keep overwhelming me. Can't keep overwhelming me. Listen, you can walk out of here today different. The thing is, it's up to you. It's up to you. He's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not force himself upon you. Hallelujah. 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 The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. He says, and I came for you. There's some of you sitting in your seat and you are going through so much hell, it does not make sense. He says, I came for you today. I came so I could leave with some stuff. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, Arabase, Ekorobosha. Arabase. He Arabase, Ekorob. Orobosa, He Arabase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Tell him all about it. Tell him what you've been going through. He can hold it. He can contain it. It's not too big for him. It's not too bad for him. It's not too crazy for him. He can hold it. He can hold it. He desires it. He desires for you to be whole. I dare you give God a shot today. Hallelujah. 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 God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you see your people. You see your people on the altar. You see your people in the chairs. God, you see what they're going through. You know what they're going through. They're telling you about it. They're telling you about it right now. And you told us to cast all of our cares upon you, because you care about us. So right now, God, in the name of Jesus, we're speaking it done. We're speaking it over. We're speaking breakthrough over it. We're speaking victory over it right now in the name of Jesus. Hey, Lord, have mercy. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. There's some more of you. There's some more of you dying on the inside. He says, you done gave everything else a chance, but you won't try me. Lord, I'm hurt. You done gave everything else a chance, but you won't try me. Hallelujah. 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 Hey. There's a shifting in the atmosphere. There's a shifting in the atmosphere. Deliverance is going forth right now in the name of Jesus. Breakthrough is going forth right now in the name of Jesus. Deliverance is going forth right now in the name of Jesus. Hey. Freedom is going forth right now in the name of Jesus. Healing is going forth right now in the name of Jesus. Ah. Hey. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Ooh, the Spirit of the Lord is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is also liberty. There is also freedom. There is also breakthrough. There is also next levels, deeper depths and higher heights. God, I thank you for what you're doing with these people. I thank you for what you've already taken care of. And God, nothing has to look different. Nothing has to seem different. But the difference is that we have faith in that you're holding all of this now. We have faith that you are handling this right now. We have faith that it's going to get better, that it's going to be okay, that this too shall pass. Yeah, we trust you, God. We trust you, God. We trust you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Yeah. Hey, that sweet, sweet Spirit is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. For those that are still praying, continue to pray. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come here today and we thank you for all things. God, we thank you for these beautiful people that have come out today. We thank you for the visitors that have come out to share with us today. to fellowship with us. Father, I pray for traveling mercies for Mike's family as they take this long ride home. We pray for their safety. Father, we pray for every soul that is in this building right now. Every issue, every ism, we cast it over to you, trusting you, being vulnerable with you, knowing that you're going to bring it to pass. And we thank you in advance, Father, and we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Somebody say amen. 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 And amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.